Our final two public hearings this evening are combined hearings. Item number 5 is a subdivision and rezoning for 455 Templeton and 2401 Ferrier Streets under file DAS Set 15 of 2001. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, again, this is a public hearing, a combined hearing, and the following will also be heard at the same time. A variance for 455 Templeton Avenue and 2401 Ferrier Street under file DAB 120327-2011D.
Thank you. A couple of things to start this hearing off. Number one is anybody who's presenting on this, please stay within the 10-minute, or try to stay within the 10-minute range that I'm setting and be succinct. And also, if anybody else is speaking to go or not to bring up information already on the table, try to bring up new information. I will also just make it clear to everybody at the meeting here that what we will be doing is hearing applicants, and then we'll be hearing from those opposed to the application, and then there will be a rebuttal, and then after that there is no more public information provided on that.
Just wanted to clarify, we hear the applicant and then those in support of the application,
sorry,
then in opposition, anyone for information, and then the applicant has the opportunity to come back.
And then, and to just start off, too, in the report that came, there's an administrative problem, and we have Shirley
Mateel,
sorry, our land engineer, to explain the issue.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Clarify stuff.
The report of the administrative coordinating group in electronic transmission, there was a lot of renumbering of clauses, and so a lot of our clauses refer to a particular numbered clause, which in the original report is correct, but in this new version with the new numberings, there should be some revisions, which I'd like to go through. In addition, there was an error in that for Beecher Avenue, there is an intent that the applicant be able to recoup the fee, the payments not only for the surface works, but also for the underground in Beecher Avenue. So to enable that, these two items, in the ACG report, it's on page 24, under option 2, development agreement, clause 13. The second line, it says identified in 10 above. It should be identified in 3, 4, 5, and 12 above.
What page again, Fran?
It's on page 24,
item 13.
So it was numbered incorrectly here?
Yes. The electronic transmission.
Okay.
Microsoft Word has
10 above, it should say?
It should say 3, 4, 5, and 12 above. In number 15, the second line, identified in 12 above, should be identified in 14 above. Then next, over on page 26, item number 24 at the top of the page, it says identified in paragraphs 10 and 12 above. Mm-hmm. It should be 12 and 14 above. Over on page 27, there's a small typographical error in item number 7, B7. It shows that the developer shall pay its share of the regional land drainage system 2010 rate. Should be 2011 rate. They are exactly the same rates, 2010 and 2011, actually. Over on page 28, item 14 right at the top, second line, improvements identified in 10 above should be improvements identified in 4, 5, 6, and 13 above. In clause 16, second line, identified in 12 above, should be identified in 4, 5, 6, and 15 above. And number 18, identified in 12 above, I think it says 12, should be 17 above. And that's it, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Those are the changes. Everybody's clear on that one?
I guess so.
The applicant is Mr. Bernhard Gortzen.
Bernhard?
Mike O'Shaughnessy? Newman Abbas for the record, please.
Mike O'Shaughnessy, 108212 Watson Street. Mr. Gerson is available should you have any questions, but he has asked me to speak on his behalf. Obviously, I'll start that while I agree with the planning report, I do recommend a number of changes. Shirley has made clear half of them already, so I will be repeating to some extent, and I will try to keep it in time. This project that runs from Templeton to Beecher between the CP Rail Winnipeg Beach Line and the and Ferrier is infill housing. It is higher density housing, medium density, but higher than the R1. And it is affordable housing. The first phase, which you put before you tonight, would be attached homes that sell in the area of $230,000 to $240,000, which is indeed affordable housing. So the affordable housing, the higher density and infill are all things that are highlighted in the new Plan Winnipeg. And this agrees with them all. So I would like to make a few points to do with the report of the district planner, and then, sadly, and as usual, more points, a higher number of points to do with the ACG report. But most of them, or many of them, surely is already outlined. So if I may, the main report, first of all, I have copies of everything I'm about to say. I will, of course, say it orally, but for all three counselors, for the clerk, for Ms. Mateel, and for Mr. Doney, I have copies for everyone affected there. And a couple of extras just in case maybe someone else would like to have. Going through the planner's report, it says at the start, plan of subdivision proposed, be approved for preparation as a plan of subdivision in accordance with Schedule A and with such minor changes. Well, because of the things Shirley brought up, it would have to be amended to say, as amended. Obviously, there will be amendments. Whether you agree with anything I say or not, there will be a large number of amendments. So I would ask that item 1A, line 3, for option 1, the words be added as amended. Item 2, the same report, in the last line. What has happened here is the planner, without saying so, plans to disallow one of the zonings requested that advertised, which is half the lot to be RMFM, which is not the part to be developed right away, but the stuff to be developed later. And our request, of course, is that it be as applied for, and that would be to change the last line after the word district to insert bracket lot 3 bracket and an RMF-M, residential multiple family medium scale district, lot 2. This would also necessitate changing the line above from district and to an RMF. It's just the technicality of putting it in English.
Mr. Chairman?
It's not important.
Just question right. I'm just wondering, Mr. O'Shaughnessy, there's a lot of amendments here. Would you, would maybe I could make some comments as we go? Or
I think that would be
better, because we're going to lose the train of thought at the end.
I would welcome them. I just hope that the chair
Is that okay?
Takes.
And the chairperson
off the chair takes.
That it'll take more than 10 minutes to get through.
Thank you very much.
I forgot this is quite a complex.
Yeah.
So, Ms. Glenn, I just have a question about the item we're just speaking about. Why is it that you're proposing
RMFS?
Yes.
Because I think the report states that RMFS would be more compatible with the existing developments nearby and some of the existing zoning and anticipated development actually.
So what does that mean exactly? Medium, less density?
If they go with the RMFM district, about 66 dwelling units could be built on proposed lot 2. Mm-hmm. And it would be, I need a calculator, but it would be less than that if it was in an RMFS district. An intensity that we feel would be more compatible with the neighborhood. Thanks. I'll get you that number right away.
We can move on. Maybe
I'm roughly 42 units if it was RMFS compared to 66 at RMFM.
It's not a huge difference, though.
About almost 50%. Or a third less. Roughly a third less. Yeah.
So the M is medium and the S is small.
Yeah.
Okay. Chairman, my point is there is multiple family across the street. Just completed. Totally sold out in advance across Templeton. Backing on the tracks again. There is high demand in this area. Plans would have to be submitted to the city for this lot when we see what demand is in the future and can be held back then. But to cut the zoning below what's there, but as I said, the city wants infill, the city wants higher density, and the city wants affordable housing. The fewer units, the more you're going to have to charge for them. Is why we've asked. You will make the recommendation that will ultimately go to council, but we are making that request, and we feel strongly that this wasn't brought up till the last two or three days. We've been dealing with this matter with the administration for 6 months, and nothing was brought up about this till late sometime last week. The other thing I have is a minor.
Can I just ask a quick
certainly
question? The definition of affordable housing, 230 is?
230 is the lowest priced new housing in the city of Winnipeg in the last 3 or 4 years. This fourplex on Inkster you just dealt with, they're talking 280. 280. He said it, 280.
Okay,
so,
no, just check.
Individually, these are individual homes. They are side by side, but not above and below each other. And 230 to 240 is much lower than anything else in going on in Winnipeg anywhere now.
Yes, your research is quick. I don't know what the newest number. So 230 is basically that's the lowest price you can find.
Yeah.
Okay.
The little ones in Amber Trails now are so far over 3. It's amazing. You know, it's my next line is we feel it's maybe a little nitpicky on our point changing the wording from 15 meters to 14.8 meters, and that's because the one unit in the very corner is 14.874 meters away. It's within tolerance. It could be allowed anyway, but why go to a tolerance when you can change 15 meters to 14.8 meters for the close proximity of the habitable room within the nearest dwelling to the rail line?
There's no tolerance on that.
Well, then we are strongly recommending, because you've had these plans for 6 months and they were fine, and now out of nowhere comes this must be 15 meters away. Well, 14.8 is 2/10 of a meter. That's about 7 inches.
There's also the provision about it's just the habitable rooms and certain other spaces.
So also the thickness of the wall would take care of that.
I haven't seen the interior.
Yeah.
So it's not all the space inside.
So 14.8 meters instead of 15 would not hurt the city?
Is this in reference to noise and
Noise, vibration, and safety from a derailment.
So we heard from the instructor of the floor unit using a special gyprock. Are you using something to mitigate the noise in this project?
Not specially when they go to 15 meters to 14.8, but of course these are heavily insulated dwellings, and they're clad on the outside. There's the insulation, there's the gyp rock before you get into any room. And believe me, before you got inside of any rooms, you'd be inside the 15 meters, because the outside wall of the habitable space is more than 7 inches.
Mm-hmm.
But just to say, we want to be above board and say, our plan shows the closest one being 14.87. We're just to be sure saying 14.8. We would ask you to make that change. It would be just less than honest of us not to point out this 2/10 difference in the plan submitted.
Is that a variance requirement?
It's a change to one of the recommended conditions of the zoning.
Yeah, but it's not a variance. No. Then 2A, item 9, line 1, there's a wording in there that says that we've gone from one end of the earth to the other, it seems, to get, if I can just get my copies straightened out here, to get this road down the middle, which will, for these houses will front on, into a position that's suitable for all. And then here, in item 2, number 9, it's put in that the specific location and configuration of this northerly 82 feet, which is put in, by the way, to allow fire engines to turn around so it's heavier than the private road, is up to someone else. Well, the location is set. It's been agreed to by the administration, by the fire department, by the builder and developer. Why would the location be up for debate again after we go away, after it's approved by council, with no debate, with nobody getting a word? The whole time, the location is up for debate. So we ask that the words location and be removed. Yes, the configuration is obviously up to Public Works and to the Fire Paramedic Service, what it looks like, absolutely. But the location, we've already worked it out, and that was approved all the way around. So we're asking that those two words be taken out.
What item is that, Mike?
Hmm?
Which item are you on again? 2A.
Item 2A, 2A. Number 9, Roman numeral 9,
okay.
IX. We don't mind it being the configuration being left up to the chief of the Winnipeg Fire Paramedic Service and the director of Public Works, and be based on safety of access considerations. But the location is done. And later on, what we would like to do is add in that we shall construct it of concrete for the same thickness as Beecher Avenue within the parameters in item 8 above, saying that this turnaround for fire trucks we will make to the same specs as the street we're building, which is full like any other residential street in Winnipeg. 6 inches Portland concrete, cement, full width of the roadway, wider if you want. That's not our problem. But the word location, if you move it, you've defeated the whole project. You could make Lot 2, 10 feet wide instead of 200, and Lot 3, 400 feet wide instead of 2. So location is what was submitted, is what was recommended for approval by our administration, and we just ask that for our own ability to sleep at night, that not be, all of a sudden be up for grabs when we're not here to respond to it.
It's to capture the requirement in the building code that the inside turning radius be at least 9 meters, and the outside would then be at least 15 meters for allowing the trucks to make their turnaround maneuver. So,
what's that got to do with the location? That's the size, configuration, which we agree to. Of course we have to give that.
If it's built according to that, those radii, then the actual location of the pavement would include some land that is not shown on here. It's, I don't know what the fine-tune legal implications of each of these words, but that's what...
If it's fine-tuned and if it's 7 inches or a foot and a half here, that's fine. But it can. It gives the city, which is the administration, without any political input, the right to change the whole plan after council approves it. And that is what we have a problem with. We'll just leave it with you. That's our opinion.
So my question is the land there to actually provide the dimensions and curves that used to go on?
Absolutely. And if the land wanted, if it had to be expanded a bit, first of all, half of it is in the lot we're not developing now, the one we want to be RMFM, and the other half is in the side yards before the dwellings start. So there is room, and Glenn has a drawing schematic of the whole area there that shows there is room to change, and there would be no objection to change, even if it had to be a little wider. That is not a problem. It's the word, the location is up to other people who are not responsible to anyone else. That's kind of scary. And yes, they are good people, of course. But this is one of 1,000 developments in Winnipeg this year. But to Mr. Gertsen, it might be one of one. It's
okay,
important.
Did you need more clarification? Mm-hmm. All right. That's that issue for now.
Mm-hmm. 210, we're asking that to add a period after the words westerly private road, taking out as determined by and to the satisfaction of the chief of the Winnipeg Fire Paramedic Service and the director of public works, and just put in as outlined above, which is approval of these same people. But it's not the end of the world. It's just something that makes it cleaner, makes it easier. And then 212, delete the word streets in line 2, as none of the proposed buildings will front on any city street, with the exception of the existing house at 455 Templeton, which already has a visible house number. This is about house numbers, and it says where they shall be visible from the streets. Well, what streets? It's a private road that they front on. It's a condominium complex of attached houses. And the numbers will be clearly visible. There's 8 different clauses there about these numbers. Maybe it's only 6. We're agreeing with them all, but to say they have to be visible from a street, what street? There is no street involved in this. There's a side street of Templeton. There's a side street of Beecher. There's a thing that will be in somebody's backyard. Behind a row of trees is barrier, but there is no street. It's a private drive.
So for clarification, that's the private approach to this housing.
Yep.
And that private road will be utilized by various services. Will come into that community,
yep.
For example, pizza delivery, maybe an ambulance needs to show up,
yep.
Go to a certain address, and they won't be able to see it from the private approach?
They will, because the front yards are only 15 feet to these houses, and we will obey all the rules. They will all have house numbers of sufficient size that are in the report elsewhere. They will be not the same color as the front of the house so that everybody can see them. Obeying everything, we're just changing the word street to the private drive.
It says street or internal road.
Right, we're leaving it or internal road. We're leaving internal road. We just want the word street or taken out because there is no street. Next thing, you know, somebody's going to want one showing up over the trees and cut down your trees.
Can I ask a question in regard? Because I can't see the map, I'd like to just get clarification on this one. So there is no other private roadway into this housing facility?
There's two. There is a private road stretching midway point of the lot, stretching from Templeton to Beecher.
Yes.
And we are building Beecher up to, it's a gravel road, we're building it up to full city specs. There is also a second private road right along the railway track acting as a back lane for these people. So we want it visible from the front road, of course.
Can I just to be a slight devil's advocate, are you familiar with the buildings at Watson and Jefferson going back to, I think it's Stardust or something like that?
I am. I live.
And you're quite familiar how hard it is to figure out where to enter that particular
And this is
complex.
So I live on Watson, by the way.
Yeah, no, you know the area quite well, I'm sure. Or former councilman. But the so when they talk about street, maybe Mr. Donahue, or we don't have anybody from traffic, but will somebody be able to approach this place and figure out which way they need to enter to get to whatever unit, that number?
That's what this is about.
That is what this is about.
Yeah.
It's knowing how to get to a unit number from the street. So
From a public street or an internal road, whichever of those two that the building is located on.
We accept that fully. If we can count on what you're saying, that nobody's going to want street numbers on the back of a house or the side of his house because it's near another street. As long as they're on the front of the street they face on, which is one straight street, not like this block on Watson, which is a bit of a maze to get through. This is one straight street with houses straight side by side along the street with normal front yards, broken up every few houses with a walkway in between so they can get through.
Similar to the seniors condo units off of Main Street out past Red River Boulevard?
No, because they're once again a maze. This is one straight street. That's a circle inside. And this is just one absolutely straight street.
Maybe the concern is not so much the street or internal road on which it is located. Maybe the concern is more the on which it is located part. Perhaps it's what you're thinking of is on which it fronts.
That's fine. On which it's located, on which it fronts is fine. We're just, what it's all about is we're coming to in the ACG report. It's any reference to a street that we have nothing to do with called Ferrier. We don't want anybody saying you have to put house numbers along Ferrier. Well, their address isn't on Ferrier. Their front yard is not on Ferrier. It's the back of their house, then a backyard of apartment blocks, then trees. So it's got nothing to do with these houses we're building now, but we are disclaiming any involvement with Ferrier Street in any way.
So did they, I'm sorry to take so much time on what sounds like semantics between street and private roads.
Some of it is.
Are these private roads actually going to have a name? Like, I don't understand. So what is the address?
We would like to name it, okay. And we would like to give them street numbers, unless the city of Winnipeg says, no, in order to have a name, you have to turn it over to the city. Well, there is a private road in behind Portage Place that has a name. It has parking meters, but they don't belong to the city. They belong to Portage Place, and it's been named. There's a few private streets that have names, and we fully intend to name it.
Mm-hmm. So somebody will be saying...
I live at number 2 Gortson Avenue.
Okay, thank you.
That is absolutely true.
Okay.
So the entrance, Mr. Shaughnessy, is through the private street then?
On Templeton or off Beecher?
Off Beecher.
The only way in... will be off Templeton, off Beecher, just like Watson Avenue. You can come in from Jefferson or you can come in from Leela, but it dead ends at both.
Mm-hmm. You know what drives me crazy about Watson? The numbers are backwards to every other street in the city almost.
The numbers get higher.
No.
But some of the buildings are behind each other, and that causes... it does, you're right.
Are the parking stalls in the front of the units?
Well, they're in the back. They have a front yard, then the house, then a small backyard, then a parking space, then the rear lane, much like anything else, except in size. They're smaller. If I might move on to the ACG report.
Yes.
All right, go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to move on to the ACG report, and it's finish berating Glenn. It's time for Shirley, but won't be berating in any way. We have a problem right off the bat, because we're given a report here that says it is recommended that DASZ 15/11, option 1, not be approved. Well, you're telling us right in the final report you do want option 1, with amendments approved. So we would like that removed from there. We don't want this going on to a standing committee and council saying, oh, the administration doesn't want this. And the administration clearly, this is the option chosen. Option one. And it starts with planning and property considerations 1, 2, and 3. We would like to see them all deleted because one says the cul-de-sac, which we're not building the cul-de-sac. The administration has accepted we're building this hammerhead, which is built to city standards and which we've been talking about the location of and whatnot. And the second, it says the city transferring 2.447-meter widening of Beecher Avenue when they can't get it off the neighbor. They don't need it off the back lane. This would be an isolated strip. And in earlier conversation I had with the head of the department, he said, no, we don't need that. It's on the map, that little green strip. And the third thing on this Section A, it's the applicant making application to legally close the existing Beecher Avenue right-of-way. Well, the city's making that application, not the developer. They've already started it. Yes. Talk to a Mr. Joshi. It started. And so these three, we feel, are totally unnecessary. But the development agreement, B, the big body, yes, of course, is necessary. But 1, 2, and 3 are totally unnecessary. The whole point was this wouldn't have got to this hearing if the developer had to apply for the street closing. No. Yes, that was you said it. Well, leaving that alone, I'd like to get into the changes we would like to see done. The development agreement, and those are numbered 4. They would have to be renumbered with whatever's done away with in A. And 6 is our first, it's numbered, currently numbered 6. The developer shall at no expense to the city install land drainage sewer in Beecher Avenue. The part of Beecher Avenue being built is only 200 and some feet long. To install a land drainage sewer under a 200 and some foot long street, when you go down major streets, Main Street, whatever, in many cases, where the grates open, where the water goes in, are more than 200 feet apart in many cases. It does slant downhill to Ferrier where there is a catch basin. We would like your consideration to deleting that extra cost of putting it in when there would only be one open grate, and there is one down at the 230 or so feet away anyway.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I'd like to know what Shirley has to say on that.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First off, I would like to emphasize that the ACG report is not in concurrence with the planner's report. This is probably very unusual. I haven't been with the city that long to know, but we absolutely do disagree with the planner's report. And the ACG is sticking to its position that option one is not acceptable. The ACG has never even seen option 3, which seems to look like option 1, so our comments on option 3 probably do follow option 1. So I'd just like that made clear for the record. So while we're going through the clauses on option 1, which we don't approve, and we were just including these just in case this committee decides that it wants to go with option 1, notwithstanding our strenuous objections to option 1, paragraph 6, the land drainage sewer, I am a municipal design engineer by profession, and so I can tell you that land drainage sewers are needed whenever you put a low point in a pavement. There may be a requirement for a low point in that pavement, remembering that we have to drain, if you're going to go with the option of the street and the lane, you're going to have to drain the lane and the street. And that clause does say, as determined by and to the satisfaction of the Director of Water and Waste, and if the applicant's engineer can convince the Director of Water and Waste that there is no land drainage sewer required, then I'm sure that Clause 6 will be satisfied. I highly recommend that that clause not be removed because I would suspect that there is a requirement for land drainage sewer, not necessarily for the full length of that street, but possibly so.
Can I ask a question with that, sir?
Absolutely.
So, actually, I've seen some newer development in old areas that were done about four decades ago, where, so if there's no sewage, that water can collect and cause quite a few issues in terms of freezing and other issues like that.
Flooding? We're talking about draining the lots that exist there currently and the site that is being created. Mm-hmm. It's a matter of draining the lots and the roads and making sure that the water goes into the land that it flows and out eventually to the river. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I have to say there's examples all over the city, mm-hmm. all over my ward actually, yeah. where water collects and people are very upset. And we can't get rid of it because there is no sewage.
Right.
There's no opportunity for that water to drain.
I would suggest that it would be very unfortunate to remove this clause. And as I say, if there is...
Shirley and Mr. Chairman, that if any low spots would be, if it could not be demonstrated from engineer to engineer that it was not necessary, that of course it would be built and should be built.
Mm-hmm.
But the door is open then if the engineering shows that there is a direct flow down to the catch basin at the foot, that the door is open if the case can be made to the satisfaction of the director. That's really, if we didn't bring it up, we wouldn't know that.
Okay.
We brought it up, we know that. Okay. If six doesn't make it in, at least we have common sense can prevail, which is really what we want. Item 8, developer shall pay for lateral land drainage sewers installed in Ferrier. Why? We don't front on Ferrier. We don't have anything that happens to run by, but so does the railroad track. We're not paying for the railroad.
I'd like clarification on that. Is that not a Ferrier? Is that not a regional
collector's street?
No,
it's an industrial street.
An industrial street.
But the point seems to be being missed here that this land flanks a great deal of length of this property flanks on Ferrier Street, and therefore, in accordance with the local improvement bylaw, this land is subject to all of the improvements that are required or that have been undertaken to date in Ferrier.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman?
We're wasting a lot of time.
Would the applicant be willing to give some cash as a local improvement to the city?
For what?
For the paving of Ferrier?
This isn't the paving of Ferrier, but... maybe I should tell you right now. I spent some time out on Ferrier today. The city is in the midst of paving it right now as a city at large project, which was in this year's budget and approved by council, and the digging up is done. It is being done under the Gravel Roads Improvement Program, much like King Edward and Jefferson have been done, with a complete asphalt surface, and that work. And I have a letter with me. As a matter of fact, I brought it along, which was dropped off, which I thought was kind of nice, if I could find it here. It's a letter to all the residents of Ferrier telling them that the city will be building this starting last week, and it will be finished by the end of July. So
why are we asking for the same thing?
That applies more to some future clauses in here, but the city is right now, at city-wide expense, under the 2011 capital budget, paving Ferrier.
With concrete?
No, paving. It's not concrete.
No, it's asphalt.
This is not, okay.
Is it asphalt or asphalt?
So yes, go ahead for the explanation.
Mr. Chair,
please do.
Plan Winnipeg requires that all lots that are developed be... fully serviced, and full servicing means concrete pavement.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me?
So, Councillor, I would just clarify this. Councillor Shaughnessy, or Councillor
used to be.
Former Councillor Shaughnessy.
Yes.
The vote, the program in which that street is getting a
hard surface
cure for, because it is in horrible condition.
Absolutely.
Is not related to actual local development. It's related to providing a smoother surface for school buses and so on to utilize that road that runs from Templeton all the way to Murray and probably further on at a later date. When we are talking about here, you're talking about local building and development here, which is not related to that program that you speak of.
We're talking about Fosaic, about sewer laterals in Ferrier.
Yes.
I'm not talking about paving anything. I just pointed out that the city is paving it right now.
Mm-hmm. We're talking.
Were you aware of that, Shirley?
I was not.
And I'd like to find out if I had a memo on it. I'm looking that up right now. But I was down there myself, and I didn't see any crews right in front of the property. But it could there were further down.
Anyway, this is about what she's talking about is for local development.
Right.
That's the sewage relationship.
Yep.
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
The pavement of the road should have. But there's more development to come along that road, and somebody should be paying to make a concrete street of that, not an asphalt street that will decay rapidly.
I don't know who would be doing that, but it certainly wouldn't be this tiny development when it's full of concrete trucks and inland cement, Stefanchuk concrete. It's a longer street. By the way, the city, that's coming up, so I'll just mention it. City of Winnipeg approved just a little further down Ferrier a school. And the same ACG group asked for them to pave Ferrier, and council said no. And it fronts on Ferrier last year. And this one doesn't front on Ferrier at all, has no access to Ferrier at all. No access to Ferrier in this development. So. The next thing I had on here was two clauses, 9 and 24, offset each other. They're the same. One is charging the developer for something, and the other one is to reimburse him for what he's already paid for exactly the same thing. Clauses 9 and 24. Just thought that should save a little time. Since he did pay for those services, and then they're saying he should be reimbursed, this is services in Templeton, that he should be reimbursed for them, and then it says that he should be charged for them.
Mr. Chair, if I may?
Yes.
9 is a specific credit for land drainage, which we know has been paid, and for which we are offering the developer credit. And 24 was to address any other services that might have been installed in Templeton. And as far as I can tell, as far as we've been able to ascertain, there are no other charges. So
really, they are offset.
They're not necessarily offset. They actually, if you delete number 9, you're removing the credit to the developer, which wouldn't be in your best interest.
It would be if you removed 24. Our fear is that he'll get credit at the year he paid it, and the charges for this 30-year-old street would be at today's 2011 rates. And that's what the fear is. They should be at the same rate.
Yes.
If he had to pay it and he's getting credit for it, it should be at the same per lineal foot or whatever rate.
Mr. Chair, that was not the intent that there would be. No, that was not the
intent. It's not the intent that there would be differential rates, that the rates paid would be the same as the rates charged?
It was not the intent to offer to pay back at an old rate and then recover at a new rate for the same service.
You. Thank
24
you.
Was about if there were any others.
Yeah,
and there,
but
to the best of
there
my knowledge, there are none.
So that, but they're both at the same rate.
Yes.
Thank you. That's all we need. But to not ask it, to not mention it, would be naive, perhaps. That's 9 and 24. Turning the page to the last third of it. Item 13. The change we want, you've already made, I believe, Shirley, is that not? Or
Number 14?
Or Glenn. Number 13, amending it, deleting the words radius of 10.5 meters, which was the bulb, I guess. There's no radius of anything. There's not a circle here. And changing it to up to the eastern terminus of the most westerly private road, which I've given you.
Mr. Chair, as discussed earlier, the ACG is sticking to its position that the terminus of Beecher should be a cul-de-sac, even if a lane is extended. That is different from option three.
That is different from the city of... But I thought you were part of property and development like he is. You can't
so
keep,
did I.
And yet you're under orders to give a month-old report strictly... This is
through
the
chair.
How long right
chair.
This? Now, we're having two people who sit very close to each other, who work in the same department, who are both... Neither one allowed to make total decisions, who are under orders to give exact opposite positions. And that's why we're making these requests. And what we're asking for is that the instead of the end being at the end of some bulb, which is not recommended by anybody but Streets and Transportation, that it be at the eastern edge of this westerly private road where we're putting the turnaround for fire engines, which is agreed by the department. So that's this is our request. It's in writing and it stands. Item 14, which
correct.
Says, so you agree with that?
Yes.
You agree with
the
okay,
that
so
I've
I'll,
already made earlier.
I won't. I'll try and cut it a little short. 15, once again, we're asking that the words turnaround at the proposed terminus of Beecher Avenue to the CPR subdivision and replacing them with the eastern terminus of the most westerly private road. In other words, they're still asking one department for this bulb to be built. And we're saying, since we're building at the department's request, a more of a hammerhead turnaround, we want this to state that. And not, it's very hard to try and deal with 2 points. This is just a very difficult situation, and why my client should have to be the brunt of this is sad. And that's why all these things, every word is spelled out in what I've brought forward, because we have two fingers on the same hand trying to point in exactly opposite directions. And who's paying? The department isn't paying. The developer is paying for an internal disagreement. So we're making our point. 16, we want it to be amended by the changing the figure in line 2 to clause 15.
Correct. Thank
correct.
You.
You're fine with
yep.
that one, too? Okay. We want clauses 17, 18, and 19 removed in their entirety. 17 is that the developer shall construct farrier to regional street width and thickness, even though he doesn't front on it. It would kill the whole project. It's a $1 million effort for this thing. 18 is that the city will, within its limited powers, try to recoup if anybody else on the other side tries to redevelop their property. But, of course, they are single-family homes that have been there forever. And 19 is the developer shall construct a sidewalk along Ferrier. We're constructing a sidewalk along Templeton. We're constructing a sidewalk along Beecher. We don't front on Templeton. We don't rear on Templeton. Ferrier. We have nothing to do with Ferrier. So our point is we shouldn't have to build a sidewalk along the street that's not in our development and that our people will never use. That's 17, 18, 19. It may be end up as a philosophical argument again. But the precedent has been that the school didn't have to put up for this, and they do front on it, and the road is currently being paved.
I just want to make sure everyone's aware that there's a proposed law. The development rights would go from agricultural rights to RMF S or M that would abut Ferrier.
Abut? What's abut?
It flanks along Ferrier.
Yeah, but it doesn't come on to Ferrier.
Can I ask a question? the people who buy these homes in this development, even though they don't have, and we have to, when we consider these things, as you may understand, when we consider development, we're concerned about the future usage and availability of the neighborhood to the people who buy homes in these areas. Do you suppose that any of these people will send their child down the street to the school that you, that this particular if this particular group did not hear and nor did make any decisions about the school, but do you suppose that any of these people will be utilizing the services of that school or any other services that may develop along that way over the future of that event of this area of the city?
If they're Catholic, if they want their child to go to that particular Catholic school, I suppose they would. Children from further down Beecher, who, if they're Catholic and if their parents want them to go to this particular Catholic school, would also go down Ferrier. But the part of Ferrier they would go down is north of this development, not in front of this development at all, because they live on a street that runs parallel to Ferrier from Templeton to Beecher. And there's a sidewalk on Beecher, so if they came out, they'd go down the sidewalk on Beecher, turn north on Ferrier to the school, which this developer is not being asked to build in any case.
I just wanted to ask a question.
I did my best to answer it, sir. Step item 21. In the third line, says, the works to be constructed by the developer to serve the planned area. We would like to be more specific to say the works constructed by the developer in Beecher, Templeton, or the private roads, plural, to serve the planned area. Once again, a reference to people may be trying to pull Ferrier into this again. And that's the reason we've asked for this amendment. And it's pretty straightforward. You either agree with it or you don't agree with it. But it's and if it doesn't apply to Ferrier, no harm, no foul, because we're putting in every street in every roadway in within the and abutting the planned development except Ferrier.
Mr. Chair, if I may,
yes.
That clause refers to the developer having to pay any costs that are associated with the relocation of any streetlights or utilities that are made necessary as a result of or required to accommodate the works being done by the developer. Now, if the developer chooses to take access to Ferrier, and there has to be some streetlights relocated in Ferrier, then Ferrier should be included in the list.
Absolutely. And if you want to put a clause in this that the developer shall have no pedestrian or vehicular access to Ferrier, that is fine with him, because that's not what this is about. Because it takes it out of the realm of $230,000 homes and puts it into $500,000 homes for the same homes.
I'm not seeing where these houses are, but some of these yards of these houses are going to be part of running along Ferrier, are they not?
No.
So how much distance is there from Ferrier to the property?
To the first house?
Yeah.
A couple of hundred feet.
So,
but remember, the other side, this is two lots. We're building the houses on the most easterly half on one lot. The most westerly half, which does flank Ferrier, is the stuff to be rezoned for apartment blocks or condominiums at a future date. So that will flank Ferrier, but its entrance and exit will be on the same private road as the houses, onto Beecher and onto Templeton.
So just for clarification then, so anything that's built along Ferrier will totally be separated on the backside from this particular property we're talking about.
Absolutely, and it's all treed right now, all the way along the abutment to Ferrier. We have no plans to chop down these trees. The apartments would be built east of the trees and would front on the private road and possibly
have an entrance near the private road onto Beecher. That would be would require city approval, of course.
Just a point of clarification, Mr. O'Shaughnessy. Would the development in proposed Lot 2 gain vehicular access from the proposed westerly private road in proposed Lot 3?
The westerly private road and or Beecher.
The drawings
that you put in the paper
so
show
there be
no
a
access to
or some sort of agreement between the two condominium corporations that would result in proposed lots 2 and 3, so that the condo corp for proposed lot 2 could use the other condo corp's private road?
Yes, absolutely. And if you wish to dictate terms for that, that would be acceptable to Mr. Gertson.
Mr. Chair, I think the issue here is that there's a proposed lot 2 and 3, and the lot that flanks Ferrier is not intended to be developed at this stage.
Right.
And if it's rezoned, and should this particular developer decide to sell that lot to someone else, the plans for that site may change.
Right.
And whatever goes on that site may very well front on Ferrier.
So this is the future. Oh.
This is our only opportunity.
Proposed lot 2 is proposed to be rezoned from agricultural district to RMF and residential multiple family medium scale.
So what we're doing right now then will affect that something that might be sold and totally changed.
But if you added a clause that lot 2 shall not gain access or egress to or directly to or from Ferrier, that would be acceptable to the owner. And that would take anybody's worry out forever because it would be registered on the title.
Would that not be a problem for a future owner?
Why? They would know it before they bought it. Because it would be on
title. And the people who bought whatever was developed there, do you think they'd be happy that they couldn't get on the ferry?
Well, they can't get on the railroad track either.
Well, you know, they can't get on the railway track all along there.
I hope not.
They're a very long way. Mr.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay. My next point was clause 27. I just think the paragraphs need renumbering. It says to paragraph 10 and 14 above sod and treed for 1 year. Might have to change those numbers, that's all.
Thank you. I missed that one. They should be 13 and 17.
Yeah. So there you go. They become 13 and 17. And the final point I have here is that we believe item 29 should be amended by adding at the end thereof a reference to taking into account, this is about land dedication money, taking into account the large amount of land dedicated free of charge to the City of Winnipeg for the future extension of McGregor Street by this developer within one block of the proposed development at no charge. We'd just like them to look at saying, hey, we've already given you many times what you're going to ask here for nothing without quibbling within a block on another development he did. Please look at it. We're not saying it absolves him of anything. That's not on our recommendation. Just to look at it.
Mr. Chair, the development agreement parameters require that dedication be within the planned area, 10%, or in the case of the development agreement, it's 8% plus. This is not within the planned area, but...
Okay, so we want our land back from the other development, where Swales comes into Beecher. That was his development, and right behind it, he gave all the excess land to the city for the extension of McGregor.
Again, under a different regime and a different set of... policy direction and so on.
Same staff, one of the same council.
So that last
surely,
yes. On this land dedicated from the Bedford Avenue, why a different set of rules there? I'm just trying to understand.
I'm afraid I don't have history on the this land exchange or anything else that council has been involved in over the years. All I know
sounds
is that
quite a big parcel of land. What percentage of the development?
I have no idea. Just making a point that everything's hard and fast on one side, but it's loosey-goosey on the other. And the rules are hard and fast. They're in writing, but not for the city, only for you. If I could sum up.
Can I?
Hold on.
Okay.
Sure. And can I still want him to stay there? I've got some comments.
property somewhere. Okay, go ahead.
To sum up, this land came under a Plan Winnipeg amendment. The Council of the City of Winnipeg changed this from heavy industrial, such as the lands adjacent to it, to neighborhood. So the idea of the zoning changing from agricultural to residential is not at all far-fetched. It was a Plan Winnipeg amendment. It got unanimous council approval to change it to neighborhood because we don't want that heavy industrial area expanding. We would like slowly to phase it out because it's being built up with homes all around it. But these people have a right to be there, and anybody moving in knows they're already there and has to accept that. This developer is providing affordable housing adjacent to a bus stop on Templeton Avenue, across the street from another multifamily development, which went up last year. Three young developers, George Preet and somebody else, one Greek, two East Indians, that has sold out rapidly. He has had many inquiries since the zoning sign came up for this about what kind of housing is going in and what the prices are, and I'm sure this can be sold out within a week. This is where the demand is. You can't buy a house in Winnipeg under $250,000 brand new. Mm-hmm. And it's there where the city wants it to be neighborhood, i.e. residential, certainly not commercial in that area, which is the only other possibility. The city wants affordable housing, the city wants infill housing, and the city wants higher densities. He is accommodating all of that. For profit, no question. But the only thing that can derail it, since the planner's report even is positive, other than a vote of council, of course, which is always the case, is making it, you can do it, but it's cost prohibitive. And to have anything to do in the large section, have to do with Ferrier, would kill the project, because, and to say, not to say that you will put in one lane, 12 feet of residential pavement, 6 inches thick. No, that you'll build the whole darn thing 35 feet wide, not one lane of 24 feet, but the entire 35 feet wide and 10 inches thick to accommodate Stephen Chuck's cement trucks. Because the city never did it. The city doesn't want to do it. So let's stick some guy trying to build 23 affordable houses. Is quite a, and the planners aren't in favor of it, but Public Works is sticking to their guns, get it built at someone else's expense. And they don't care that it makes it unaffordable. They don't care at all. They don't look at it. The planners have, and the planners have recommended approval. My little rant for the moment, I guess. And I would be pleased to come back to answer any further questions after opposition has spoken, or answer any questions you may have now.
I think Councillor Shorman has some questions.
I could do it after, Mr. Chairman. After. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Shorman. Yes,
we have Andrew Retzi, 433
Beverly Avenue.
Yes, he's registered in
support. Councillors, Chair, we're in favor of that Global Homes development on that land. We have land that we went to Executive Policy Committee and had re-amended Plan Winnipeg for 160 acres where McGregor was going to cut through that land, which they now made McGregor into Ferrier. And our aim is to put in affordable housing. I remember Mr. Gortzen had on Swale, that's just south of the development we have planned, had actually in that dedication, because another developer was going to have a clawback from the city on services. And he, as a gentleman, offset that. That's where that one came. So my hat's off to Mr. Gortzen, because we remember that zoning hearing. Now we're going We're in favor of it in terms of the development, maybe something nice on that private road, maybe solar-powered lighting or something just to make the development nice so people could find those house numbers we were looking for. But also just further to the other developments, it's all on that old CPR rail line, and that rail line is used to bring in old scrap metal to Selkirk. The trains don't travel very fast. It's not like Global on Harborview West, where there was a big argument on the offset of roads, the houses off that rail line, and the railroads were told to back down because they were, and then that gave Global, I mean, Qualico, what, one-third more the land value to develop at Harborview West. So it's important. The city needs development, affordable development. The plan is to have inter-loading port. They're going to clean up that ferrier. They're going to move all our industrial over to those areas on Inkster, Oak Point Road. So I believe that the development should go ahead, and we will hopefully, in our due course, make application in that area for 123 acres if the province gives us that go that they own, and going further for 160 acres, and that's affordable housing and so important for the city. Thank you.
Any questions? Okay, thank you.
Is there anyone who has not registered in support of the application? So is there anyone here who wishes to register in opposition to the application? Moving on to for information, we have Mr. W.J. Koala, 781 Inkster.
Who's that? In opposition?
For information.
It's a person.
And then we have a Mr. and Mrs. Pete Borosniak. Registered for information? Do you wish to speak? Okay. Is there anyone here, anyone else here who wishes to register for information? Okay, so that mm-hmm. leaves it back to the applicant, Mr. O'Shaughnessy.
Thank you for enough. We have nothing to add, but I am here to answer any questions you may have.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I just want to go back to the document that Mr. O'Shaughnessy submitted and get some clarification. It's obviously a very complicated matter. First page, item 2A, 2AIX, sorry, don't know Roman numerals.
Nine.
Yeah, okay. What we had some conversation on that with Shirley. You were open to some amendments on
well, I'm open. It's not to do with Ms. Mateel. It's got to do with Mr.
O'Donnelly. And just to clarify one thing, Mr. O'Shaughnessy, I am going to be making a motion this evening, and I'd like to use this document as a working document because it's going to be too hard to make up my own words otherwise. So we need to fine-tune this together, I think. And
as someone who used to sit at a table like this for 30 years, thank you for using this for some sort of a template, but this is so complex, I feel, as a former counselor, you're going to have to go back and forth with your administration to mm-hmm. try and make sense of this, and I'm pretty sure you will. Mike's been through it a ton of times.
And, just for Councilor Schoenemann, I think, knows how she needs to proceed, so I think...
So that item...
Sure that item...
The new wording here. Is that the
Are you asking about this? Mm-hmm.
Yes,
that should be directed to Glenn Jones.
Glenn, sorry.
2A9, location and? It's the 82-foot approach for the fire engine to turn around.
Yeah.
Is the new wording very problematic? How do you feel about that?
I know that legal is very specific about wording, legal department. So I honestly do not know the implication of taking out the word location. Unless we could maybe specify that the location would be along the westerly limit of proposed lot 3 and shall be developed in accordance with the building code requirements.
Mm-hmm. You could have approximate location. It's the point of ending up with the radius again is the whole point. Ending up with a bulb again because when it's you've accepted the drawings, it is where it is. The fire department has seen it. They're in favor of it. But if it has to be fine-tuned, that's not the point. We don't mind a fine-tuning, even significant, but not to move it where it would mean moving the road.
No, this is, wouldn't be moving it.
Well, it says the location. That scares us.
Okay, and I'm saying, we could maybe say instead the road that the along the westerly limit of proposed lot 3.
Mm-hmm. That's fine.
Should be developed, must be developed in accordance with building code requirements, which includes the radii and the width.
Why radii? It's not a circle.
Radius.
The length and width.
No, there's a curve.
There's a curve.
The fire trucks don't pivot.
So this is a this just for Mr. O'Shaughnessy. So that's a corner, right?
Yeah.
There's a radius on that corner. It's not. Yep. It's not a radius around the circle. You have a corner, and there's a radius to that. And
the point is, I'm being guaranteed so by all and sundry, except Shirley, that this is not an attempt to bring back the bulb.
Well, it is not an attempt to bring back the bulb.
Even from Shirley, I've got
this that. Is the radius for the turnout, the approach.
And that is
no.
Absolutely.
No? Yeah, you're
yeah.
right. Sorry.
Yeah, no. And that is absolutely acceptable. We'll take your word, and absolutely, your honorable people, we accept that. So we'll withdraw 2A9 amendment, taking out the words location and. Because we've had a verbal assurance, but we sure didn't get it. Because these reports have been in such flux and been changing word day to day, mm-hmm. you can see where there's a little skittishness on all sides with this. Mm-hmm. So we would withdraw our request for an amendment to 2A9.
So you're withdrawing?
That one, yeah. Because we've had verbal assurance from both.
Read to me all the
Well, we're just deleting the amendment.
Yeah. Okay, we just.
Yeah.
Always,
no,
it's
we'll
the way it was written by your staff.
In the ACG report, Shirley,
yes.
Item number 6, like I'm not entirely comfortable with that either. Like every street should have drainage, but there was some conversation back and forth that the engineers would communicate, right?
I believe that Mr. O'Shaughnessy agreed that it was that he to delete this requested
yes,
deletion because
of your
if there
insurance.
Is no land drainage required, then water and waste will be satisfied with that, and clause 6 will be satisfied.
Right. Okay.
Absolutely.
Now on the next page, we had conversations near the end there that lot 2 shall not gain access or egress onto Perry. That's not something that's in this document. I would certainly like to bring that forward. Okay.
I would highly recommend it. I think that's a planning issue, isn't it? More than a.
I'm sorry, I thought.
No access to lot 2 onto Ferrier?
It is a planning issue that would foreclose an option without knowing the future proposal for that lot.
Okay. Well, we'd be willing to accept it. And if all of a sudden came up with this marvelous new concept unheard of to humankind, but it required entrance to Ferrier, then we'd have to come for a development agreement amendment or a rezoning again or a variance to this very same group and say, we didn't lie, but everything changed. Please be kind and let us do our new wonderful state of the world entrance onto Ferrier. And you'd say, no, get out.
Mm-hmm.
We go, okay.
Yeah.
Why are we offering a condition like that? The city doesn't want a condition like that.
Isn't that Shirley? Didn't Shirley mention that?
Just to be clear, help me out. I just want to be clear about this. This lot 2 will be sold to another developer.
There's no plan for that at this time.
There's no plan for it at all.
The plan would be that Mr. Gerson would develop it.
But the position of the city is that Mr. Gerson may sell it to someone else who may have other plans.
Yes.
Right. But then wouldn't they come before us anyway?
This is about
the rezoning now.
Yeah,
they won't be coming forward again to rezone because the rezoning is happening now. Yes. That is the issue.
And the conditions that are recommended to apply to all the proposed lots, as they're stated, to which lots they apply, would apply to proposed lot 2.
You could end up with a development like Leela, trying to get lighting on Leela, where a particular housing project that happened 30 years before Amber Trails even. About 20 years before Amber Trails appeared. And this particular lot along Ferry, I think I heard issues about lighting along that lot. I think I heard issues about sewage runoff on, related to that, to services on Ferry to that lot. I, as a chairperson, would just caution any decisions on this to limiting and saying no access onto Ferry.
We said we were willing to accept it. We did not ask for it.
Caution.
Yeah, I'm saying we did not ask for it, but it was brought up, and we would be willing to accept it.
Back to the first page, the last item, number 9 and 24. Shirley, can we go back and have some conversation?
I believe we both, the applicant concurred with us that it was probably in his best interest to leave number 9 in place.
Right, to delete that.
We could delete 24 if you wish, because I'm reasonably certain that there are no costs involved.
What I'm saying is delete it from his document.
Oh.
Sure. Delete 24.
That would leave
Shirley, if you want to leave 9 in or take it out.
The councillor is asking if we could delete your request to change.
Yes.
Which means that 24 will stay in. But I'm reasonably sure that the costs in 24 are zero.
But you said,
yes.
I heard you just say, you could eliminate 24. So we're saying you can eliminate 9, so drop and vote, which is what we said. We're willing to accept not getting anything more back or new, but we just don't want this liability of, I'm pretty sure. You can't plan a subdivision based on, I'm pretty sure. It's like the legal department needing specific wording. We'd like specific wording either both in or both out. We got your word that both be based on the same year's LI rates, which is enough, which was the whole point of it.
Mr. Chairman.
Oh, yes, sorry.
I have a question, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, please go ahead.
Thank you. On the planner here, former councillor Michael Shaughnessy was mentioning about Lot 2, and that's the proposed condominiums. Just in terms of sharing those costs from a city infrastructure perspective to the planner, would it be correct that if there was units to be built on Lot 2, that would be shared over the lots, the full lots?
Yeah, there would be more lots being put up for sale, mm-hmm. And so the cost could be shared, distributed over more, more units for sale, and the cost of the infrastructure could be distributed over more units. And actually, according to the proposed RMF zoning of proposed Lot 3, the one where the current development is proposed, mm-hmm. they could construct about 50 dwelling units there. And if the other lot goes to RMFM, about 66. So we're looking at over 100 dwelling units compared to what, 23, I think, is proposed?
Right.
Mr. Chairman, I must object. We've already submitted our plan for 23 units, not for what he says the maximum allowed in zoning.
Okay,
this firm, we're ready to build if we can get
out. The point, though, is that about 66 dwelling units could be built on Lot 2 from on, and those units could share in the cost of of the infrastructure upgrades.
Right. Okay. To what? Just clarification, no money is expected until they actually develop that. Those lot sure. number two, right?
I don't know how that works. If I think the agreement applies to the entire planned area, Councillor. The servicing agreement.
You got me still at the table, but you know you have to pay your cash before you get the third reading of the bylaw and the Mylars. You have to put up your cash to get your development agreement for the whole area.
Yeah, okay.
Every time.
Yeah, okay.
Any further questions?
I think at this point we're going to take a short break for...
Okay, so you're done with me then?
I believe we are. Councilor.
Thank you.
Ever so much. Thank you, Mr. Shaughnessy.
My pleasure.
What do I have to see then? What do you want me to see?